With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just like old Bandit Run.
Well, if you know that song, you know who we're talking about. Right here, Baskin and Phelps, Les Levine. We take it down I-71. We talk a little Ohio State football with the man in the know. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He is from the Dispatch and Dispatch.com, Mr. Tim May. Hi, Tim. How are you?
Hey, Tim.
Good, man. Hey, who's got to sing that song? Can't remember.
Jerry Reed.
Jerry Reed, yeah. So I met me and a bunch of our buddies. This was well before I got married. We met a girlfriend of a guitar player in Jerry Reed's band one time down in Nashville. It'll be in my book when I'm done working for anybody else.
That's how good the story is?
The story is excellent.
Wow, I might have to call you when we're offline. Let's talk a little Ohio State here.
Can we guess?
Not on the air.
Oh,
I don't want to guess on the air. The story, if it's that good, I don't want to hear it on the air.
It's excellent.
Thank
you. It'd
be
a movie.
Tim, what'd you think about Nick Bosa and the announcement this week that he's not coming back?
I'll be honest with you, I kind of half expected it.
Yeah, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, didn't we?
Bottom line is this, his dad, John Bosa, pointed out to me when I was talking to him on Tuesday, is you know, this was a 10 to 12 week window for him to even get back in any kind of shape of playing football, which means middle of December or early December, anyway, how you look at it. I'm talking about from the time the surgery was done on September the 20th. And, you know, Nick Bosa only knows one speed when he's on the field, which is 100 miles an hour. It actually might be a 105 kilometers. That'd be, I don't know, 100.
Oh, good. Thanks.
140, 150 kilometers.
There's not supposed to be any math on this test.
That just sounds faster.
Hey, because you guys do reach across the lake there to Canada, right?
We do. Yeah, we do.
I want to keep them in the loop.
They listen to us in metric.
There you go. But anyway, I digress. You know, just in any – let's say he, you know, goes out and tears it up again, he's not going to probably ever be in 100% shape for the playoffs or or a bowl game. And, you know, as his dad said, the emotion in Nick is he's a captain on this team. He was elected captain in preseason. You know, I'll talk to him at length in preseason interview before they went into quarantine because of the suspension thing, you know, with Urban Meyer. But, you know, how much he wanted to be part of a national championship team. He thought there was no excuse for this team not to be playing for it this year. And he just looked forward to it so much. And I brought up the fact, well, you know, walking, talking, you're a $30, $35 million man right now. Mm. He goes, yeah. He goes, but bottom line is you got to think about what's right directly in front of you. And his very immediate goal was to win a national championship, just like his brother did in 2014, Joey Bosa, with Ohio State. But, you know, as his dad said, finally, sometimes you have to just step in and take all the emotion out of it and look at what is best long-term, physically, financially, and everything else. Now, I'm paraphrasing that. He didn't say it in those terms. But bottom line is that's what they did. And by him withdrawing from school and moving out with his brother out in L.A. area, probably Manhattan Beach, don't you figure, or Newport
Beach. Wouldn't make
sense. But bottom line is this keeps him from being around here pining about, wanting to play, needing to play, and the coach is staring at him all day. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, just kind of hanging out. So,
Tim, it's astounding to me in this.
It's basically called a clean break.
It's just astounding to me in this day and age of sports fans and how long guys have been eligible to do this kind of thing. It's unbelievable that anybody thinks he's making the wrong move.
Yeah, but let's know it's not. I mean, when you really think about it, it's not really unbelievable to you because you deal with that every day, I would think, on the radio with people having their own, quote, opinion on things and not living in that person's shoes. You know, bottom line is, I've always been this way. I've always wanted what's best for the player. because those are the guys. Those are the guys that matter in sport more than anything else. And you know, right now it looks like the what matters, what's best for Nick Bosa is to make a clean cut of it and move on with the next phase of his life.
Tim, did you get a lot of email back about him leaving and negativity in Columbus?
Yeah, you got it on both sides. People understood. Yeah. Now people are disappointed. You know, I always use that line from that Seinfeld episode where Elaine gets tickets to some show on Broadway, and they announce for her manicurist, and they announce before the show that Bette Midler would not be entertaining that night, and
right.
The one lady goes, "No Bette Midler?" You know, it's kind of like that now, because you don't have that you know, at least on defense, you don't have that superstar guy, and, you know, and that's part of the fun of watching any kind of sport is watching individuals who are definitely a cut above, elite, doing what they do. And he was, still is probably, you know what I mean? But he was. I mean, when he turned up the wick, for example, to get that strip sack at TCU to force the fumble Devon Hamilton recovered in the end zone, oh, my God, that was vintage Nick Bosa.
Yeah, all right. So what did his teammates say? Were any negativity on the teammates' side?
Well, as you can probably understand, we don't get to walk through the locker room and poll everybody, but like Jordan Fuller, one of the co-captains and the safety on the Buckeyes, I mean, basically said, you know, it's his life, and also, you know, they're all pulling for him from the standpoint of it was a tough decision, and they knew it, but they also understand. I mean, everybody sitting in a college locker room right now is not sitting there worth $35 million to the NFL. It's a select few. And, you know, it's, as I've always said, you guys know this, I've always said I've covered three sports, pretty much major sports during my career, auto racing, football, and boxing. Two of them where they wear a helmet and the other where they should. And whenever you put the helmet on in auto racing and football, even for practice, you're in jeopardy. So
that's a good point, Tim. Yeah. All right, let's fast forward to this week. Why is Purdue such a tough place for Ohio State to play? And I say that with the caveat that, you know, every team is different in college football. And so, you know, what happened, you know, in, I don't know, 2009 isn't the same that's going to happen in, you know, 2018.
Yeah, I think they won 56-0 last time they went there, didn't they? I'm trying to remember. But before that, you're exactly right. I mean, it's bizarre things have happened over there.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not bizarre, but tough games.
Right.
1984, the first year I started covering the team, you know, Ohio State's got a chance to play us the big debut game of Chris Carter. Ohio State's driving against Jim Everett, and Mike Tomczak on fourth down throws the ball out of bounds to stop the clock. You know, but one of the things is the yardage marker guy didn't flip it over until after the play had started. Everybody thought it was still third down. But then past that, I mean, you know, we all know Holy Buckeye in 2002 over there.
Right.
Maybe the seminal moment in that run to the national championship. Craig Krenzel the receiver's name? I'm drawing a blank. But anyway,
not David Boston.
Is, huh?
Not David Boston.
No, not 2002. Michael Jenkins.
Oh, Michael Jenkins. Yeah, sorry.
No, Michael, not Michael Jenkins. Anyway, I'll think of it
now
before we're done. I'll actually think of it every day. But the bottom line is, there have been some weird things happening. There's been some drives by Purdue. I mean, Drew Brees with that pass and 1999 or 2000 to win that game, you know, and Drew Brees goes on to be the all-timer in NFL passing history. So, yeah, it's just one of those kind of weird places. Just when you think it's going to be a blowout, it isn't, and just when you think it's going to be a close game, it isn't. I think tomorrow night's going to be interesting because you've got the two most successful quarterbacks in the Big Ten thus far this season, Dwayne Haskins Jr. and David Blau for Purdue going at it. But it's supposed to be windy to begin with over there about 7:30, and that's supposed to calm down as the game goes on. So that may ground some of the flights. But the bottom line is, it's like I said, you never know what to expect with college football, and that's definitely the case between Ohio State and Purdue.
Yeah, you're right. It was Michael Jenkins. Isn't that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Michael Jenkins. Yeah.
Tim, there was a game before.
You know why Ben Hartsock had the other play. I kept thinking about David Boston in the Rose Bowl from Joe Germain.
Oh yeah,
you know, that was going. Through
oh yeah.
Me. Okay, sorry.
Oh yeah.
There was one game before.
There
was that one game before you started covering him that the decision on who won wasn't determined until about an hour after the game.
Wait, I think you're thinking about the Michigan State game, 1974. when there was some conjecture whether Ohio State had gotten lined up or not correctly before the snap, they were called for, I think, illegal motion or something like that, and it took Wayne Duke and them a little while to figure it out. That was the night Levi Jackson went like 80 down the right sideline for afternoon, he didn't play night games back then. But anyway.
All right, give me a prediction for this week.
Prediction, I'm going to mow the yard because I just did. So there
we go.
I'm right. I'm one out of one. Number two, I think I picked Ohio State 41-24. I just think it's going to be one of those kind of games. I think, believe it or not, I think the difference is going to be Ohio State's defense, because I think Ohio State's defense is better than Purdue's. And all things being equal, I go with the one where it's a not, and I think that will make the difference. I think Ohio State will be able to score more points than Purdue, but I think it could be a very interesting game. Jeff Brohm is a genius, in my opinion. I mean, he's one of those head coaches and offensive minds. He sees it from the quarterback's perspective. I've always admired the way he gets things done from a yardage-gaining standpoint for his teams.
Very nice. Very nice. No golf today, though, right?
Now I'm going to play 9 holes here in about 25 minutes.
Where are you playing at today?
I haven't made up my mind, but probably Golf Club of Dublin, because I can walk on there and play a pretty decent course for a decent price in the afternoon.
You can't get on Muirfield? You don't carry that kind of weight? I mean, you are Ohio State football.
No, man. I'll tell you what, though. I pine for those days when Bobby Rahal had his house out there on the 7th fairway. Actually, it's right next to the house that Urban Meyer owns now, and I just go over to visit. You know what I mean?
Oh, of course.
next thing you know, we're hitting up on 7 there.
Tim, we always appreciate your time. Looking forward to talking Ohio State with you next week as well. Thanks, Tim.
Always a pleasure, fellas. See you next week.
You're the best. Tim May from the Dispatch and Dispatch.com. Make sure you are reading him every day. And, of course, he was on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.